him again from the dead. And so our whole hope is not just in a virgin birth, although that's necessary. It's not just in a sinless life, although that's necessary. It's not just in a substitutionary death, although again it's necessary. But our hope lies that on that third and appointed day, just as the Lord Jesus Christ had said he would, my friend, just at the same hour that he said he would, the Bible teaches us that the Lord Jesus Christ rose up. Word of God teaches us in Acts chapter number 2 that it was not possible that death could hold on to him. I mean, friend, it could sting it and the grave could try to hold it, but on that third day he is coming up out of the tomb. Thank God for our hope, friend. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then we are of all men most miserable. In this life only we have hope in Christ. And so he looks at these people and he says, I know you're going to lose a lot of things, but let me tell you what you're going to gain. First of all, you're going to gain the peace of God that passes all understanding. Peace with God, peace of God, peace in God, peace through God. But then he says, I want you to know this. We're not serving a dead God. We're serving a God that on the third day, he resurrected up from the grave. So now he's preaching to them about hope, friend. He said, you can have hope in Christ. You may lose everything you've got down here, but thank God everything you've got down here is only temporary. Amen. Living in temporary bodies, dwelling in temporary buildings, driving temporary cars. My friend, everything you look around, everything is temporary. But thank God what the Lord Jesus Christ, as a result of what he did. And the Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves do break through and steal, but lay for yourselves up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so we find the Lord Jesus Christ begins to talk about how he brought him again. But I want you to notice particularly the Bible said from the dead, our Lord Jesus. And then something happens differently. He calls him here that great shepherd. Boy, I like that terminology, don't you? I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ, not just a good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep, but thank God he's the great shepherd who lives and intercedes for the sheep. Now the Bible says he brought him back. You perceive the goodness of God, my friend. You perceive the love of God in the fact that he laid down his life. Bible says in 1 John chapter number 3 verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, that he laid down his life for us, and so ought we to lay down our lives. You might question a lot of things, but my friend, in order to question the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is a good God means that you have to deny the fact that he left all the glory and died on the cross for your sin. You might say a lot of things about Jesus, but you won't never say he's not been good. Amen. He demonstrated he was good on the cross of Calvary. I'm glad that he's good. I'm glad that he loves me. But then when you come to that tomb on the third and appointed day, you don't just perceive his goodness on the cross, but you perceive his greatness whenever he resurrected up out of there. I mean, they had already put all the way around there 120 soldiers. They had already put up a stone in front of that place. They said, make that as sure as you can. But my friend, I want you to understand that the devil knew that if the Lord Jesus Christ came up from that thing was over. And so the devil had every soldier that he had, not just physically, I believe every principality, I believe every ruler of darkness, I believe every power of the world, I believe every force of darkness that the Satan had to summons was there to make sure the Lord Jesus Christ didn't raise up. And so the world was working against him, and the prince of the power of the air was working against him. And dear friend, all of his disciples had forsook him. Nobody's standing there at the tomb waiting on him. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll build it back. And it didn't make any difference if they didn't give him building materials or whatever they wanted to do. On that third day, there's not enough demons in hell to keep him down in the tomb. And when they showed up at the tomb, they did not just perceive the greatness of God at the cross of Calvary, or the goodness of God at the cross of Calvary, but they perceived the greatness of God when he resurrected for my sins and for your sins. Him, man, he's a shepherd. Not just a good shepherd who knows his sheep, but he's a great shepherd. You know, the Bible says, and I've written some things down, God wants us to know a little bit about shepherding. Matter of fact, he goes through great extents to take some great men and make them different accounts of shepherding. First shepherd we find in the Bible is Abel. First shepherd we find. Boy, old Cain's over there and he's trying to bring all of his works and the fruit of the field. And Abel's got a little sheep. Amen. First thing I want you to see about this shepherd is it's a witnessing shepherd. It's a witnessing shepherd. You remember long after Abel's dead, the Bible says his blood crieth out. It was a witness not only to what God required, but it was a witness to what man desired. That friend, that not only, men have been doing everything they can to try to work things out, and they hate those that are trying to come any other way. But the Bible teaches us it's a witness unto Almighty God. And then I thought about the next shepherd you find in Scripture is a man named Abraham. And so not only do we find a witnessing shepherd in Abel, but then we find a wandering shepherd in Abraham. I mean, Abraham is a wandering shepherd. He's got no place to lay down his feet. He's got no permanent city to dwell in. But everywhere he goes, God goes with him. Now listen, God's painting us a picture. I just want you to grab hold of this. So he shows us one shepherd is a witnessing shepherd. He shows us the next shepherd, Abraham. He is a wandering shepherd that God has provided for. And then we find his son, Isaac. He's also a shepherd, but he's a watering shepherd. Every time you come upon Isaac, you find Isaac's always watering the sheep. I say, thank God. Hey, listen, this is going to paint a picture for you if you just stay with me for just a minute. And so we find that Isaac is a watering shepherd. And then I thought about Jacob. Oh, Jacob, whenever he went over to Laban's house, he didn't have anything. Matter of fact, he said, I passed over this brook with the staff in my hand. But you find he was a working shepherd. He is willing to do ever what he can to make sure all the sheep came with him. And then on his way back to Bethel, whenever there was a split there in the brook of Jabbok, that old Jacob, he loved the sheep so much, wanted to keep them out of harm's way. He said, I want you sheep to go over yonder for a little while. He said, I'm going to cross back over that river and I'm going to intercede for you while I'm over there. Anybody getting what I'm saying? Amen. I mean, we got a fella that's doing some work for them. Even when they can't see him, even when they don't know where he's at, even when they can't feel him, when he's crossed back over the river, friend, he's doing some laboring on their behalf. And then we find the next shepherd that we come across is that man Joseph. I thought about old Joseph. He's a wealthy shepherd. I mean, friend, listen, when everybody else, the famine hits down, he said, I got a little piece of ground over there called Goshen. And you just take all of your little sheep. He said, Daddy, you come on down. All my brothers, you come down. Bring everything you got down. He said, there's going to be some plagues. There's going to be some things coming. But I got a little plot of ground right in the midst of Egypt. He said, I'm going to take care of you folks right there. You just go and eat till your little heart's content. And the Bible says that they multiplied as they went. And then I thought about the next person you come across is a man named Moses. I mean, he's a wilderness shepherd for him. He's been out in the wilderness for so long, but he's got them little sheep right. I mean, have you ever thought about the fact that while they're talking about water and while they're talking about not having enough bread from heaven, there's enough sheep with him to make sure they can perform the sacrifices that God's required. Where's all these sheep come from, friend? I mean, God just demonstrates that he's a leading them through the desert, but that's not the end of it. He intends to lead them into the promised land. And so we find that after him comes that man whose name is David. I mean, David's sitting on the other side there, and I thought about whenever you come across David and everything he's done, one thing we know is that David loves his sheep. He's the well-beloved shepherd. He's the fellow that'll stay up all night long. Whenever the lions are coming and the bears are coming, he's the one that whenever the Philistines come up, and that he will not run, he will not shirk from responsibility, and just with a little staff in his hand and a few rocks is all he's got. But my friend, you rest assured, he'll not let not one of his sheep be devoured by the enemy. And then the last shepherd you come to is that man Amos in the book of Amos. I mean, he is a warning shepherd for him. He said, I don't have no formal education. I'm not a son of a prophet. I didn't come from a long line of preachers. But God gave me a message. And so when the Bible begins to talk about that great shepherd, that God raised him up from the dead, I look back at all of those things that God has been painting this picture for us. After man, after man, after man. They are typologies, but they are not the picture. They are shadows, but they are not the person. God's been giving us clues, but it's still been a mystery. But all of a sudden, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes down, what we find is he puts all of those things and he wraps them up into one darling son. Bible teaches us, first of all, you ought to just stop and shout a while that he is a witnessing shepherd. When God raised him up from the dead, that the first thing he did was went back into the high heavens, present the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ at the mercy seat, and it might be a witness for me and it might be a witness for you. It satisfied a holy God. It saved an old wretched sinner like me. I'm telling you, still this very day, when we come in and begin to pray to God, we're praying to him because there is the witnessing blood that is ever present in the eyes of Almighty God. And then I thought, as you come down through there, thank God he's a wandering shepherd too. Everywhere we might be, although we're traveling in a place where nothing that we put the sole of our feet on is not home unto us. We're pilgrims and strangers traveling in a strange land. But I'm glad one shepherd's been with me every step of the way. It doesn't matter if it's in Scott County or it's in Jamestown or all across this world. One thing we can rest assured on is that he is a shepherd that'll wander with his people. And then I thought, thank God he's a watering shepherd. Somebody ought to say amen right there. I sure am glad that these times that it may look like these deserts all around us, and dear friend, our tongue cleaves to the roof of our mouth, our spirit's dry, but I'm glad God will always make sure there's water for his sheep. He'll never let his sheep run dry. I mean, that day on Calvary, whenever they pierced him in his side and forthwith came out blood and water, there's enough water that'll satisfy us through all of eternity. And then I thought about, thank God he's a wilderness shepherd. While we're running down through Egypt and traveling through this world, hey man, I'm glad that he's with me. But he does not intend to leave me here. He intends to bring me to where he is. Hey man, he'll walk with me where I'm at. But thank God he's going to take me where he is. Hey man, I say thank God when he's talking to these Hebrew people, he puts together all of these messages. He puts together all of these shepherds. And he said there's been some good shepherds in the Old Testament, but they ain't never been a shepherd like the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Then I thought about, boy, aren't you glad like David? Amen. Any time that the enemy comes up, any time that the lion shows up or the bear or the ranging king, whatever the case may be, aren't you glad the Lord fights your battles for you, friend? I mean, things you don't even know about the Lord does. So we find the blessing is that God brought him from the dead. And then notice what the Bible says next. It says, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. I want you to understand this morning. You can't make a covenant with a sheep. Does that sound right? You can't make a covenant. Go out there and try to make a covenant with a sheep and see how it works out for you. You can't make a covenant with no animals. They're done. Hey man, you can tell them, I'll promise to do this if you'll do that. And bless God, they ain't going to do nothing. They don't even understand what you're even saying, friend. They're sheep. They're dumb. There ain't no covenant made with the sheep. And the covenant's made with the shepherd. Hallelujah to God. Whenever God made a covenant, you understand why we believe in eternal security is there ain't any covenant made with me. The covenant is made with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's between God and it's between his Son. whenever he went to the cross of Calvary through the death of a testator, he made a covenant with his Father. Now the way me and you get in on this covenant is as sheep, he is our shepherd, and he makes a covenant for us. And when we get in the Lord Jesus Christ, the covenant transpires to us. But that's why the Bible said, in him is life, friend. I mean, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no life. God's covenant is made. Let me just, in order to illustrate this better, I want you to understand, God's covenant has never been with mankind. When God makes a covenant, he makes a covenant based on himself. That's because me and you can't keep not one part of any covenant God's ever given. Notice what the Bible says. Got your Bibles? Let's open up there real quickly. I want you to turn with me and look back in the book of Genesis. Maybe this will help illustrate this story just a little bit better. Bible teaches us in Genesis chapter number 15. Genesis chapter 15. I want you to notice what the Word of God says. In Genesis chapter number 15, this is the first covenant that you find that man is a part of. God blesses Abraham. He says, in multiplying, I'll multiply thee so that thy seed is more than the stars in the heaven and more than the sands on the seashore. And he says in Genesis chapter 15, verse number 12, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, an aura of darkness fell upon him. He said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be strangers in a land that is not theirs, shall serve them, they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with a great substance. Thou shalt go to thy father in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Now notice in verse 17, and it came to pass, when the sun went down, it was dark, and behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And so I want you to notice, just stop right there. God makes a covenant with Abram. And when God makes his covenant with Abram, what we find as a result is God says, hey, listen, Abraham, you can't keep the covenant that I'm trying to give you. So in other words, he let him fall asleep. He let him see a vision. And when he saw a vision, he saw a smoking furnace on one side and he saw a burning lamp on the other. And they passed in between the sacrifice. That is to say, one represents the Son of God in the lamp, and then we have the Spirit in the smoking furnace. And so God makes a covenant, and that covenant is a triunal covenant. He makes it between his Son and he makes it between the Spirit. It is the three in one God. A thrice holy God makes a covenant in himself. Now God allows Abraham to see what that covenant is, but God doesn't allow Abraham to be a part of it. Abraham can't hold up any portion of the bargain. And so God establishes every covenant he has on the eternal persons of the Trinity of Almighty God. And when he came on the cross of Calvary that day, my friend, that's the same thing he did again. He established a covenant. He established a testament. He established, dear friend, a promise that's not based upon me or you. That's why you can never work yourself in. That's why you can never do good enough things to please a holy, righteous God. The covenant is not between you and God. The covenant is between him and his Son. And if you don't come in by his Son, you can't come in at all. That makes sense? So God makes an eternal promise based on his eternal person. And as a result, we have, hey man, eternal comfort. No, it's not. I don't have to hold up anything. I just believe what God said. That's all there is, friend. I just accept what God has already offered through his covenant. Now notice the Word of God goes on to say. We find that there is a covenant. I want to run through these real quick because this is what he makes mention of several times through this. You can just listen and read, or listen as I read. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Over in Hebrews chapter number 9 verse number 12, the Word of God says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once in the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Again in verse 14, he says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? We find that the Bible teaches us here in this same place in verse number 20. Now the God of peace brought again our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So the question would be this morning, how long is everlasting? I mean, I'm not the smartest person in the world, but everlasting seems to be everlasting. Doesn't that just seem like that would make sense? I mean, how long is everlasting? Is it one day, 2 days, 10 years? Did you have everlasting redemption, everlasting sanctification, everlasting salvation, an everlasting covenant? Did you have that for 40 years? If you had it for 90 years and you lose it, then it's not everlasting. Amen. And because the covenant is not made with you, the covenant can never be lost, friend. That's the problem. See, if it was made with you, then you could lose the covenant. But the covenant is not made with me. The covenant is made with an eternal God, and I get into the eternal God, and the eternal covenant abides onto me. But it doesn't matter what happens in my life, it's still an eternal covenant with an eternal God. That just seems like it makes sense. Amen. Almost like God wanted us to grab a hold of that. Don't you guess that'd be right? And so notice he goes on to say in verse number 21, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. So now we find the beneficialness of the blessing. He says, the Bible says, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. So there's a two-part to this blessing. He says, one, he'll make you perfect. Two is to do his will. Now, when you read that term perfect, now it's not always like this, but in this instance it is. When you read that term perfect, it's as if you have a broken bone. Your bone's been fractured. They're all out of place. But God puts you back together. He mends. See, we were all broken in a fall. But when God, through his eternal Son, his eternal covenant, he made us whole. Amen. Now, if God made you whole, the question is, why'd he make you whole? Hey, man, was it so you could have a good time? I want you to understand, friend, I hope everybody hear me real plain this morning. Lord Jesus Christ did not just come and die to get you out of hell. I mean, that's good. But the purpose in him coming was not to get you out of hell, and it wasn't to take you to heaven. Amen. Amen. See, we get in our mind that the only reason Jesus came is to get us out of hell or to get us into heaven. No, the Lord Jesus Christ came first and foremost to satisfy a sovereign, holy God. That's why he came primarily, amen. Now, secondarily, for those of us that would believe in him. See, it's not about heaven and it's not about hell. It's about him. Now, there are folks that they want heaven, but they don't want him. They want to get out of hell, but they don't want him. Might I tell you, apart from him, there is no getting out of hell. There is no getting into heaven. He came to restore fellowship between you and God, friend. Now, heaven and hell's a byproduct. Thankful I ain't going to hell. Thankful I get to go to heaven. But he came to satisfy God and bring glory to himself. That's why he came. Amen. But he done that, so we ought to do something. Now, if Jesus done that for you, died for you, satisfied God for you, redeemed who you were to him by his own blood for you, it ought to make you want to do something. Do you agree with that? Amen. Amen. Bible teaches us that we ought to, I'm going to have to move on quickly. It says, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. I'll stop reading right here, and we'll finish this whole book up next week, Lord willing. But working in you. See, so God makes you perfect to do his will, and then God continues working in you. We got some folks that don't want to let God continue working in them. But God wants to continually work in you. Amen. I'll stop right there for this morning.